Bill on the Art of Money Radio, Walton.
The Art of Money, man. I thought this was the Art of the Coolest Shirt of the Day contest here. And I thought I was going to win. When I first walked into the room, Art, I thought I had it won. And you were hiding in the corner. And then you came out from behind the curtain. And, oh, man, you do have the coolest shirt. Plus, you have the biggest biceps and the broadest shoulders. And you have been in that weight room. And I'm so proud and so happy for you. Thank you for having me on the Art of Money.
You're very welcome. So we're here for the Pump Foundation.
Right.
My mom, I lost her to 59 to ovarian cancer.
Ouch.
So this is a very
important.
Was
that just a couple days ago or?
No, this was a long time ago. So
yeah.
It was about 17 years ago now.
Wow.
But it's
both my parents
research.
Are passed.
Are they?
Not from cancer, just from being old and their
right.
body just stopped working. And my dad passed 18 years ago. And I had let my dad down twice big time in my life. And my parents, greatest parents ever, Art, but no interest in sports.
Zero. Really?
None. Never shot a basket with my dad, saw him run one time at the church picnic and fell over laughing. But my mom was our town's librarian. So there was just no, we grew up in a totally unathletic household, but the greatest parents ever. And then when we started having children, I'm William Theodore Walton III. My dad is the second. And he told me, he never asked for anything, never. My parents, like so many of my friends and peers, grew up through the Depression, through World War II, and, ultimate hardships there. And so, they never asked for anything. But then one day my dad said, hey, you're having children. Would you please name one of them William Theodore Walton IV? And I wasn't smart enough. I wasn't mature enough to know how serious that ask was. So I let him down that time. And then at the end of his life, I was in charge. And he was going downhill. And he was in and out of the hospital all the time. And then one day he looked at me and reached out his hand and held my hand. And he said, Bill, I don't want to die in the hospital. I want to die at home here. And I was there the day, and back and forth, 911 and paramedics all the time, taking
right.
him back and bringing him home. And so I was there when he was having a tough go. And so I put him in the ambulance, and he was looking at me and just shaking his head, Bill, I don't want to go. I want to die at home here. And I was the one that closed the door, thinking we could get a little bit more for my dad, and I couldn't get it done. And I carry that burden. I carry that stain.
Did he pass
and stigma.
Away in the...
He passed away in the hospital, yeah, and I was there for that too. And my mom, who lived another, gosh, I'm going to say 17 years, and all of this is in the same home in San Diego. And we grew up with no money. I know this is a show about money, but we grew up in a house with no money. Right?
Well, a lot of people started with,
right.
That's the American dream, right?
Right. And so, they lived the American dream. And so my mom, who lived there in the same house, she wanted to die at home, and I was in charge again. And so she never even went to the hospital. But she was, it was tough. We had her help for her and everything. And I'd go over there every day because, they lived in that house for 69 years. From when I was born. And then I would go over there every day. Our home in San Diego was just 10 minutes away. So I'd go over there every day and talk to them and laugh and joke and tell them the stories and bring them up to speed and just keep them involved in everything. Once they became unable to get out, because they had full lives on their own. And so at the very last day, it was January 8th, 2022, this year. She was 23 days shy of her 95th birthday.
Wow.
And as I was kissing her goodnight and putting the blanket up over her shoulders and saying, Mom, I'll see you again tomorrow, she said, oh, Bill, I'm looking forward to it so much. She never whined. She never complained. She never made an excuse about anything. And as I was walking back outside of the family home to get in the car and drive home, she called out and said, Billy, say, did you ever get a job? And then I said, I'm working on it, Mom. I'm working market. And now that I'm on Art of Money, maybe I could say a prayer to her tonight and say, Mom, I'm getting closer than ever. But she never woke up the next day. Oh. So God bless her. God bless my dad. And God bless Harold and Carol Pump, who this foundation is named after. Yeah. The Art of Money, man. What a cool deal.
Thank you. Let me ask you a quick question.
The Art of Coaching. That was Jack Ramsey's book title. Jack Ramsey, the coach who made me the greatest player I ever was. And, you know, John Wooden, that was he was all these great coaches and teachers.
John Wooden put something on your desk.
Right.
He put a saying, a quote.
Right. So Coach Wooden, he had a billion sayings. Things like, be quick, but don't hurry.
But it said to Bill Walton.
Right. He wrote one for me on the day I graduated in June of 1974. To Bill Walton, it's the things you learn after you know it all that count. John Wooden. And I'm trying my best. All the things that John Wooden said, they all came true. Now, when we were playing for him, we didn't believe any of it because we were teenagers.
Right.
And he was 65 years old.
Right.
And so we thought he was the walking antique, and that's what we called him.
Behind
his back. We were terrified of the guy. Even more so of his wife, Nell, because Nell was his protector, because Coach Wooden was a guy that, like so many people in my life, like the Pump brothers, who just give away their life.
Right.
And a great personal sacrifice to the rest of the family.
Right.
And when you have these people like you, like a lot of these people who are going to be here tonight, you know, these are people who live their life in the public spotlight. And when that happens, the family suffers mightily. And that's what happened with Nell and their two children, Jim and Nan. And so here it was that Coach Wooden, he would tell us all this stuff. I mean, he loved teaching. He loved being a parent. He loved being the coach. He loved being in charge. He loved the responsibility. He took that responsibility very seriously. And being teenagers, you know, we just thought, oh, we were just out here playing basketball. We didn't realize we were competing in the game of life, but that's what he was doing. Mm-hmm. And so he would just give us all this stuff, and it didn't make any sense. We would tease him and make fun of him and not believe any of it. But then it all came true. it wasn't until things started to go bad, because that's what he was preparing us for. You know, right. he was into building our own personal foundation so that when the hard times would come, which he knew they would come. We didn't know that. We just thought it was just going to be, you know, we all grew up in Southern California. We all grew up on the beach. We all grew up in great public schools. We all went to UCLA. And we all had John Wooden as our coach and Chick Hearn in our ear every night. And so it was just a fantastic life. And then, as it invariably does, things started to go wrong, and that's when all the things that he told us, it all came back. The final one was because Coach Wooden would always talk about his definition of success, which was the peace of mind that comes with the self-satisfaction of knowing that you've done your best. And that, like,
you've played to your best, that no matter what.
Yeah, that made zero sense to me. if you were going to be, you know, I thought it was the scoreboard. I thought it was your bank account. I thought it was physical beauty. And so here it was, you know, feeling good.
Right.
And so here I was going to be on a show, and I had no idea what the hook was going to be on the show. Today's hook is the Pump Brothers Foundation.
Sure.
You know, and raising money, awareness, consciousness for cancer research, which is a critical deal because we're all going down. We don't know when, we don't know how, but we will go down. And so you got to be ready, and you want to prolong it as long as possible. I want to look like you, Art. I want to have those guns, man. I want to have those shorts. I want to have a shirt like that, right?
That's easy to do.
And so here it was. I was preparing for this show, and I couldn't get the hook. So I was talking to one of my teammates who also played for John Wooden. And he had been through a lot, but, you know, came out on top, and is still on top today, although he's got some cancer issues himself. And so he was explaining to me, because Coach Wooden and everybody I've ever known, whether it's David Stern, Phil Knight, my wife, all these people in my entire life, they all say, Walton, you're the slowest learner I've ever had, please. And so he was explaining to me that the hook for this story was going to be that saying, to do your best, to be your best, because that's all you can really do. It's all you can really be. And I didn't understand that. But in that preparation, it came full circle for me. And I realized right then and there, and I've changed as a person because of that conversation with my friend Andy.
That is wonderful. Let me ask
who's in the witness protection program now, by the way.
Let me ask you a real
question. By choice.
Okay. Let me ask you a real question.
They're all real questions.
You're on the radio. You're starting a new program yourself, but you used to deal severely with stuttering.
I'm a lifelong stutterer.
But how in the world? I mean, you have no stuttering anymore today.
That's not true at all. I stutter all the time, and I have to prepare for it. I know that I'm a stutterer. I accept the fact that I'm a stutterer, and so I try my best to work around it.
And I haven't heard any signs of that.
You just missed it. You weren't listening earlier when I had to come to a complete stop. But I was super lucky. I met Ernie Vandeweghe on my very first day at UCLA 52 years ago. And from that meeting with Ernie Vandeweghe, from that point on in my life, I was 17, 69 now, 52 years. Everything good in my life can be traced back to Ernie Vandeweghe and the connections, the example, the leadership, the guidance, the direction that he gave me. And one of the greatest gifts that he gave me was that he introduced me to Marty Glickman, the person who taught me how to speak. Now, Marty was the broadcaster in New York when Ernie was playing for the Knicks. And because both of them were so busy with other stuff, and the NBA in those days in the 50s was not what it is today. Oh,
right.
My gosh. You look at these salaries today. I'm so happy for them. The NBA today is the dream come true.
Right.
And it's just fantastic. You talk about the art of money. You should be interviewing those guys, man. And so here it was. And it's only going to get better because right now the NBA is coming to the end of a media rights deal that pays them $24-25 billion over time. But they are on the verge of tripling that, of getting to a $75 billion deal. And so, whoa, and it's just going to be spectacular for the NBA.
Yes.
And it's all just fantastic. And so to have met Ernie Vandeweghe and have so many good things, I mean, that's what the art of money is about, because it's relationships. It's
yep.
about knowing where the opportunities, where the deals are, and to learn from people who have been there. Everybody needs a teacher. Everybody needs a coach. The best teacher, the best coach to have is someone who's on their way back from where you want to go. And
Amen.
Those people have always been super nice to me, whether it was here in Los Angeles with Ernie Vandeweghe and John Wooden and Chick Hearn and Wilt Chamberlain and Jerry West and Elgin Baylor, all my heroes growing up here, whether it was the Celtics, who I joined later, but I became a Celtic fan because of Chick Hearn, with the respect and awe that he would talk about the Lakers' bitter rival. But Chick Hearn was such a great professional, and he just he created the words I view in my mind to be able to sit there and imagine and dream. And the dream that gets derailed by health challenges, which is my story. I don't have cancer yet, but
you've had some back issues.
Right, I've had every orthopedic issue. You know, basketball was the easiest part of my life ever. Academics were second, straight A student the whole way through. But my challenge is orthopedic health. I was born with birth defects in my feet, tore up my body playing ball. I've had 39 orthopedic operations. Both my ankles are fused, both my knees are replaced, my spine has been replaced, my hands, wrist, fingers don't work. Look at my face, man.
So you're Steve Austin.
I don't know who Steve Austin is.
He was the $1 million, the $5 million man or whatever on TV show.
We grew up without a TV in our house.
Did you really?
Yeah, my mom was the librarian.
Well, there you go. You were outside shooting ball.
I was playing. I was outdoors. Growing up in San Diego, I was out there. I had a bike. I had a skateboard. Every day my mom would bring home big stacks of books. And we had the radio. My dad was a social worker by day and an adult educator by night, a music teacher on the weekends. And he just loved people. And we just, but here I was, I couldn't speak. Learning how to speak, Art, is my greatest accomplishment and your worst nightmare. And I was I was there the day that Marty Glickman died, right? Marty had an incredible life. Read his book, The Fastest Kid on the Block. HBO's got a documentary on him that's just over the top. You know, Marty was he was the victim of anti-Semitism, which is just awful. You know, racism, all the sexisms and the homophobic stuff, all the everything. Negative aspects, yeah. just drive me crazy. And I'm so lucky to have grown up here in Southern California, where so much good happens all the time. And you know, somehow, some way, evil has a knack for finding me. But my challenge, my job is to go find the good, and I found so much of it out there. So I was there the day at Coach Wooden's house, the mansion on Market. Over in Encino, and the phone rang as it always did, and Marty Glickman had died, and so they were interviewing Coach Wood, and he became, because he was the last man alive for everybody, he lived to be 99, I was his easiest recruit, I became his worst nightmare, and drove the poor guy to an early grave at 99, Coach Wood became the king of obituary, because he knew everybody, and he outlived everybody, and so they called him for quotes about Marty Glickman. So Coach Wood was given all these platitudes about Marty being this great human being and overcoming adversity and the anti-Semitism that had destroyed his life and career and everything, but he built it all back up and became the greatest broadcaster and teacher and humanitarian of the day. And then Coach Wooden's going on and on about how great Marty was, and he stops. He stops. And the reporter kind of goes, what's going on here? Because Coach Wooden never really stops talking. And so Coach Wooden said, but I'm really mad at Marty Glickman. And the guy really took notice then, because Coach Wooden never had a bad word to say about anybody. And so he says, I'm really mad about Marty Glickman. He taught Bill Walton how to speak, but he didn't teach him how to stop talking. And with that, well, I'll let you get back to your regular program, The Art of Money. Here we go.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate you being on the show.
I'm the luckiest guy in the world. And where can I get one of those shirts? And can you show
Robert
me
Graham.
Your can you show me your weight workout, man? Because people at my age, all we can do now is we can go in the pool. I was here at the beautiful pool at the Beverly Hilton here. Thank you, Merv Griffin. And we can go in the weight room. I haven't made it there. I'm going to go there this afternoon here at the Beverly Hilton, and then we can ride our bike. Los Angeles is not the best place to ride your bike. San Diego is idyllic for riding your bike.
You didn't torture my body quite as bad as you did, so
I don't have the
knee problems and the ankle problems.
You're looking mighty fine there.
I was a water skier. So
I loved water skiing.
So I made the choice, do I want to go pro or do I want to work for a living and ski on the weekends, and that's what I chose to do, because water skiing didn't have the money that basketball had, that you had. We are the, like, my hero was Carl Roberge back in the day, and he would slam on the water, do a great turn, but he made like $50,000 for the whole year for being number one. Now he got free boat, free clothes, things like that. But your league played a little bit better than that. So I was like, I think I'll be in business first. I'll do the art of money first. And then I'll ski on the weekends.
I loved water skiing. I had so much fun doing that. I just didn't. I wasn't able to do it long enough. You know, we never had access to a boat growing up. And then when the Celtics, they gave me a boat.
And nice.
So the Celtic fans, not the team itself, they gave me a boat. We were down in the wild, remote areas of Baja one day, water skiing.
It's gorgeous.
It was just fantastic. And then and we come in and we're dropping one skier off and just walking down. I mean, we are in the middle of nowhere out there. Merlin Olsen comes walking down the beach, and Merlin and I had been friends forever, and he's just the finest human being, and he said, hey man, I love water skiing too, but I never can find a ski big enough. And he said, Bill, I bet you've got a ski that's big enough for me. Now Merlin, he had big feet, big wide feet, right? And I've got long feet, they're not as wide, but my ski, which was a beautiful handmade, custom made, beautiful wood inlay and everything, just fantastic. And he looked at that and said, hey, can I go for a ride? And he went out there and he was just carving. It was just fantastic.
And he loved it.
And we spent the rest of the afternoon on this beautiful bay, just glassy as could be, nobody around. We had a big cooler in the boat and we were just having the time of our life, laughing, telling stories and living the dream that we hope can be extended through the great efforts of the Harold and Carol Pump Foundation and their ability to raise the necessary awareness, consciousness, and resources to get us to the promised land. Thank you.
Thank you,
Art,
Bill.
The Art of Money.
That's it.
Here we are, where dreams come true.